Yesterday, I emceed the Berkman Center's second Signal or Noise Conference. I started out with a little history of copyright, trying to put the focus on the basic constitutional deal, according to which the public domain was the domain of importance, compromised minimally in order to incent production, a kind of a deal with creators to give them enough of a piece of the value of their creation to lead them to create it, leaving the residue of their creation, the value of it, to the public domain. Jefferson, architect. Maybe better than public domain, we should call it the permitted domain, or the domain within which use is permitted without explicit license. And then I sought to focus the clash between the extraordinary growth of the scope, duration, and jurisdictional reach of copyright through the years, and on the other hand, the development of the internet, a rhetorical space, fluid, behind the screen, and then challenge the audience to recognize that for every position felt passionately, there was a contrary position with passion on the other side, that progress meant finding a new point of view. I used the Necker cube and didn't show them the third view, but could, and perhaps now should. I'd love to find a program that would allow me to turn the object in 3D. What did I see? What I hoped to see was demonstration of creativity strong enough to lend power to the argument for its protection. And yes, I saw it. Creativity in song, where artists borrow from the past both composition and performance, transforming the old to something new, paying homage to the artists of the past. Mike Dowdy, Wayne Marshall. I learned about fan culture that takes a beloved set of characters from literature and writes new stories using them. I saw machinima, movies made with the characters and environments of video games. I saw mashup movies, video presentations, essays, using footage from the past to say something new. I saw Michael Bell Smith take the three notes, which are the subject of the Bridgeport litigation, and first play the fruits of the challenge that he put of taking those three notes, the sample 1.5 seconds long, and making something totally new, unrecognizable, unless, as I heard Larry Ferrara say, you go back through the files of the software iterations that led from the original source to the final product. Go back in reverse from final product to source and prove that, yes, indeed, the sample was taken from a copyrighted work. And I close the day with the observation that indeed I'd seen what I hoped to see, that the challenge of this space in which any node can publish to any other and to all others, any node can listen to any other. Space of message, communication, fluidly programmable by the engineers who structure the environment behind the screen. That this environment creates a new challenge for the law. The law that has grown up in the domain of atoms, creating separate doctrines to apply to distinct ways of relating to the atoms, has produced doctrines which, in this new space, lead to conflict at the borders brought together by the fluidity of ones and zeros. That law is challenged to think anew about this space, that it only makes sense to think in terms of functionalities, not in terms of wiring behind the screen, that a strategy of approach is to bring the borders of doctrinal domains together by extrapolating the wisdom of the tests applied to each and applying each to the other, applying the extrapolated tests of each to the other. So with sampling, the most graphically demonstrated of the conflicts we saw yesterday, in this case between the doctrinal domain protecting composition and the separate domain conducting recordings, performance. Looked at functionally, we can see a variety of functional categories. Relationship between the source and product. If the product is recognizable as having come from the source, and if it detracts from the commercial value of the source, one can see a basis for fair claim. If the sample is recognizable from the source but does no commercial damage or even enhances commercial value of the source, then fair claim seems much more problematic. If the sample taken from the source embodied in the new product is not recognizable, then hard to see any possibility of commercial damage, and indeed damage of any other kind, including moral rights of authorship, and so hard to see fair claim at all. If one were thinking anew about claims in this internet digital space, would this not be a sensible frame within which to proceed? I told the audience, too, that I had been to the Grokster argument and found myself provoked by it to the point of changing my position on the case. Here the doctrines of primary and secondary copyright liability. Out there on P2P networks, there now exist great libraries of material. Suppose one set out to build a great library of non-infringing work. One could do it with a P2P client.
Once again, American Eagle, flight 4650, non-stop service to Newark, is now boarding at gate 17. All ticketed and confirmed passengers should be through the gate at C-17. 4650 to Newark, now boarding.
Imagine a Creative Commons P2P client with appeal for sharing of Creative Commons work. Secondary liability protected by the Sony principle. And even if one were to apply notions of fairness to the problem, still most probably protected, though Grokster would not be. Add functionality of permanent URL, comprehensive searchability, and suddenly we fall into the domain of direct primary liability for the ISP. Why not then take the wisdom of the DMCA, safe harbor notions worked out through legislative compromise and extrapolate the principle of fairness embodied therein to apply to the whole domain, with explicit recognition of the value of innovation meant to be protected by the Sony principle. For secondary copyright liability, this would mean that compliance with Sony in its theoretical form, capable of non-infringing use, though that use has not yet substantially materialized, for such cases, add on the fairness principle we see embodied in safe harbors. Perhaps add it on across the board. And for direct infringement, though the ISP is offering a service, let the Sony principle also apply. If Grokster goes down, it's the company that falls, not the network, not P2P in general, but only P2P in the specific case of a business built on infringement, with no caution whatsoever. Indeed, quite the contrary.